away this morning from the Word of God as we leave this place of worship, as we get ready to celebrate, of course, this entire month we've been celebrating. But as we think about Christmas, friend, you and I, that's you and that's me, we carry the gift of joy. Amen?
Amen.
If you're a child of God, you carry the gift of joy. Who can say amen?
Amen.
And so we carry the gift of joy. Let us live it out in a world that is starving for it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want us to take away today. If you'll take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter number 2, and beginning in verse number 8, the title of the message that God has given me this morning is simply Great Joy. And if someone were to say to me, Shane, you have only one sentence left to speak the rest of your life, I know exactly what I would want that sentence to be. And that is, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
If I could only say it once, if it were the final destination of my voice, or declaration of my voice, I would want the world to hear that Jesus Christ is L-O-R-D, Lord.
Amen.
Now, with that truth in mind, read with me, if you will, now beginning in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God Almighty. You know, in the video we just seen, and we did get permission to show this, The Chosen, Holy Night. If you've not seen that video, well, we did show it, of course, the first week in December, that Sunday night. But if you've not seen it, I do encourage you to go back and watch this in your own home. You know, while the scene there fades, hear again the words that lit the night sky. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, today is the third Sunday in December, and the church's season of remembering the first coming of Jesus and longing for His second. Amen? And so in this series, we've discussed already the subject of hope and peace. And this morning, we're going to discuss joy, and that is confessing with the angels that heaven has brought joy down to earth and placed it in the manger for all His people. And even shepherds, even us, listen, think about this. On that holy night, we declare God turned sadness into joy, right? And because of what happened in Bethlehem on that night, you and I, we can live a joyful life right now.
Amen.
Three alliterated points the Holy Spirit of God has given me as I've studied this passage and as I've prepared for this message. So pray for me as I share what God has laid on my heart. If you take notes, you can write these down. Number one, joy announced. And we're looking here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 and verse 14 here. And so the scene opens with ordinary men under ordinary darkness. That's like most of us, right? It says, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch by night. And so this represents night work. How many work at night? We've got some in our church that do work at night. And that's what it represents. Night work, small lives, and thin prospects. And then suddenly what happens here, in the midst of the night, is that glory appears, an angel descends from heaven. Can you imagine being out in the field as a shepherd And I've been there. I know what it looks like in Israel. I've seen Bethlehem. I've seen these fields. I've seen where these shepherds are. As a matter of fact, when I was there, guess what? There were shepherds out in the fields. And so imagine being there and all of a sudden descending from heaven or out of nowhere. We know it's from heaven. It descends from heaven to deliver the good news that changes everything. You know, we see the proclamation. You say, well, what's that? As we talk about joy announced. Well, that is that good news is declared. Verse 10, it says, I bring you good tidings. Amen. In the Greek, that is apego nisomai. In other words, I evangelize you with the gospel news. That's what that means. Listen, this message here, it's not merely some suggestion or strategy. It is news. Friend, I'm here to tell you today something has occurred outside of them, for them, that will now happen to them. Amen. And then we see the proportion. In other words, great joy that's described in this passage. Not mere uplift or momentary laughter. It says great joy. There's a difference between laughing and smiling and actual having joy that the Bible talks about. In that is the Greek chera-megali. It is being described right here. And this is a mega joy. This is not just some ordinary joy that's out there. This is a mega joy. Heaven's word being for the magnitude of gladness that Christ brings. See, we ought to be so glad of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us. Amen. Amen. It's a large enough, guess what, to fill our empty hearts. And loud enough to drown out all the old shames that we have in our lives. That's what salvation's all about. And it's lasting enough to endure beyond the night. And then there's the people. That is the grace that is distributed. Notice in back in our text, it says, which shall be to all people.
Amen.
God did not send the angels to a palace balcony, but rather to a humble pasture land. The term for all people encompasses the unreached. Let me just say this, the unimpressive, the unknown, the unclean, the shepherds first. And listen, that is to make a point unmistakable. If joy reaches them first, I want you to realize this, my good friends. It could reach all. Amen?
Amen.
And then we see the person. The ground of joy is disclosed. Look at verse 11. It says, unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ. That is the Messiah. And it goes on to say, the Lord. You know, He is our Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, joy is not some abstract feeling, but rather a concrete person, and His name is Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
The gospel does not ask us to manufacture some emotion. It invites us to go and to meet the Savior. And so joy is the sound of the that the soul makes when it discovers who Jesus is and what He came to do. I remember on that night when I gave my life in August of 1990 in that gymnasium as we were giving out football for the Cleveland equipment for the Cleveland Midget Football League. I know exactly what it was like and what I discovered that Jesus came and He saved my soul. He saved me from going to hell.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what He came to do.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why we celebrate His birth. Amen. Amen. That's Amen. Not why we only celebrate His birth, but we also celebrate His death, burial, resurrection.
Amen.
The fact that He ascended into heaven, yeah. My friend. That is the peace, the fruit of joy is displayed here. And so verse 14, notice what it says. Peace on earth. Now where do we live? On Mars? Some people act like they do.
Amen.
But you know what? We live on earth, right? Peace on earth. Joy and peace, you know what they do? They travel together. And it is amazing. Here we are, and I think this is very temporary. I'm not trying to be the person of bad news here. But it is kind of astonishing to me that I'm preaching about peace on earth. And right now, we probably in our lifetime have the least amount of turmoil going on. I know there's crazy things going on, but if you really look at things going on across the world, there's more peace right now than there ever has been in our life, but I think it's temporary.
Amen. Yes.
There's not going to be a true peace, I'm telling you, until after everyone's called up out of here. And we
Amen,
go through,
brother.
Well, not us, but they go through the tribulation period. One day there will be peace, though.
Yes.
And it is a peace that will surpass all peace. Listen, joy and peace, though, they travel together. You know what peace represents here? It represents reconciliation between God and us sinners, right?
Amen.
And so joy signifies rest and delight within the reconciled sinner. The angel preached both. And so because the child brings, that we celebrate, the child, Jesus Christ, brings both. You know, joy is not something that's just conjured. We can't manufacture it. I can't make you as the pastor of this church feel joyful. Not at all. It's announced. It begins in heaven. True joy is. And it breaks into earth. And you know what? It rests on one person, and his name is King Jesus.
Amen.
Not only do we see joy announced, but joy is anchored. Well, that's what joy is. It's anchored. You know, many equate joy with happiness. But I'm here to tell you today, I want you to know, while happiness certainly visits joy's house, biblical joy, it's more deeper. From Scripture's witness and the Christmas ark of hope, peace, joy, we can define joy in a more rich context, and we see that here. Let me give you a definition that the Holy Spirit of God gave me as I was preparing and studying these passages of Scripture. I've never seen Luke chapter 2, even though I read it every year, and studied every year for some type of Christmas message. I've never really seen it like this. And here's what the Holy Spirit gave. I want you to write this down if you want to. Joy is an often cheerful contentedness born from gospel hope and gospel peace. Listen, the joyful life then is often a cheerful life of being content. And you know who our contentness is in?
Yes.
The Lord.
Yeah.
Let me unpack three C's from this text, if you want to write these down. The first one is claim. Joy is settled. We ought to claim joy is settled, right? Joy begins with the spirit of settledness. Why were the shepherds suddenly steady and sure? Why was that? Well, because heaven had spoken. And we've already learned over the past week in this series that hope arrived. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Peace arrived. And then we also looked last week at a Savior is born. And listen, when you combine the hope and the peace, you get to where you're content. A marked calm that remains even when feelings fluctuate. You know, Paul would later declare, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. He says there in the Bible, therewith be content. Let me ask you a question. Are you content with your life today? Joy can smile, but it can also stand. And then there's confidence. And what I mean by that is joy is faith-fed. The Bible says there, fear not. The first command attached to the gospel, joy is a release from dread. And so we see that the shepherds transition from shrinking at men's disgust, running with confidence. We've seen that even in the video that was shown. And so it believes that because Christ has come, He will come again. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, it may not look like He's coming back, but you better be ready.
Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, the worst things are not the last things. And then there's celebration. Joyous cheer. And I think that often shows what we're talking about, the title of what we're calling this today, Great Joy, right? Absolutely breaks into, that great joy breaks into laughter, into singing, into witnessing and wonder, as verse 20 there talks about. Joy is often cheerful, right? Are you joyful? Do you look like this? I'm glad my face don't freeze like that, right? It's cheerful. And I think it's often important for us to emphasize joy. is not always loud and giddy, but frequently it is fittingly expressive. And so at times, joy, guess what? It manifests with tears at times, and, yes. and gratitude at other times. It appears like a quiet resolve, and sometimes it's seen in the shepherd sprinting through Bethlehem at midnight. Listen, we got to hold the balance, my friend, because joy is more durable than mood.
Amen.
And demonstrable than patience. In Christ, it is anchored enough to endure sorrow and alive enough, guess what, to erupt in song. You know, I've been to funeral services before, and you would think, I mean, everybody's sad for a moment, and all of a sudden people will break out in praise and worship in a funeral service.
Yeah.
You know what, if somebody knows Jesus Christ and they pass away, just like the funeral that I was at yesterday, Sister Trish, and she's not able to be here today, but her dad passed away, Clifford, and I was able to speak, but you know what, people were raising their hands during some of the music, praising the Lord. Guess what? But Clifford placed his faith in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Just like Brother Lloyd did. Guess what? They're in heaven with Jesus.
Yeah.
I couldn't
Amen.
Help but notice in his casket yesterday. Well, guess what was there? A little Jesus he was holding in his hand in his casket. And you know what I told the family? I said, family, I said, guess what? He may be holding that there, but that's not where he's at. He's with Jesus in heaven.
Amen.
We see also joy activated. As I said earlier, as Christians, we should be living joy in a joyless world, right?
Yes.
The angels promised, notice this, great joy for all people. But today, you and I, we inhabit a world that we live in that often seems joyless, disenchanted, cynical, angry, and by the way, anxious. Have you noticed how anxious people seem today? If we're honest, we sometimes play a part, by the way, in these attributes ourselves, right? All of us. However, the call of Christmas, listen, it's not to curse the darkness, but to carry the dawn. And here's how Luke moves us from announcement to embodiment. Three W's I want to give you this morning. First of all, it's worship. Joy turns upward. Look at verses 13 and 14 back in our text. The Bible says, notice this, and suddenly there was a noise on the rooftop, and it was old Saint Nick. That's not what the Bible says. Where did I hear that from? Well, let me tell you what my Bible says. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen.
The angels, they model it, right? Glory to God in the highest. You know what? Joy aims at God first. And let me say this. Before the shepherds ran to town, they first went to Him. Verse 15 says, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us. Listen, joy grows where adoration is a habit. I want to give you some practices that you can how you can stoke worshipful joy. First of all, gather weekly to sing the gospel into one another's fears, right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget one time a lady at our church that I was pastoring when I was at Parkway years ago, 2012. It was this time of the year, and I had an aunt that worked for Pat Smith that worked with her at American Uniform. And I remember my aunt, she got on the telephone and sung to her, and she said, that just brings so much joy to my heart. She said, I know I'm not going to be around long, and she did pass away in January of that year, 2012. And so, you know what? It brought joy. Sometimes singing brings joy to people. I don't know about you, but it does me. Listen, Scripture before screens, right? In other words, before we turn on the television or the computer, listen, Scripture begins the day with Bethlehem's word and not Babylon's worry.
Amen.
And then gratitude as warfare. What do you mean by that? You know what? I think we need to start naming three gifts of grace in our lives every single day before we name the grievances that come into our lives. Then we see also this joy activated. We see not just worship but witness. In other words, joy spills outward. Look at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child, And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. And so when they had seen it, they made known abroad, the Bible says. You know, joy speaks. Listen, this is not just some pastoral assignment that I'm giving you here, or a program, but rather this is glad hearts. And you know what that means? Glad hearts. You know what? If you have a glad heart, eventually your mouth is going to become generous, right? And so the shepherds did not share a theory. You know, they told, they went and told what they saw. Notice what the Bible says. It says, we found a Savior where God said He'd be. A witness shaped by joy. You know what it looks like? It looks like gentle courage. It looks like a... And by the way, some of this junk that's on Facebook and social media, which I don't even look at, people tell me, I can't believe so-and-so put that on there. I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of these days, all these people are passing on, and I'm not into... one time in my life, I thought I wanted to be an attorney. And I read in the Bible, it says, woe unto the doctors and lawyers. No offense if you're a doctor or a lawyer. But you know what? One of these days, all these people are going to get sued for defamation for talking down on people.
Yes.
But joy spills outward. A gentle courage. Tearing somebody down. Listen, I don't get on there and I don't want to see it, but and I know all my stuff's posted on there. That's all automatic. And everybody, I'm glad, goes and reads it. But let me say something. I hope nobody ever from this church is tearing anybody down on social media.
Amen.
Because that's not a Christ-like thing to do. I've not seen Amen. Anybody, but I'm just saying. And then what about a personal story? We ought to be sharing what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
What has He done for you? Joy testifies in first person. What we've experienced. And then persistent kindness. That's joy activated. That is the witness there. And then works of mercy. Joy moves inward. And it moves around. And we see here that Luke's gospel continually pairs song with service. Mary's magnificent, alongside Elizabeth's hospitality. The angel's chorus, paired with the shepherd's care. Simeon's praise, combined with Anna's ministry. And so, joy becomes mercy with skin on. And where mercy embeds joy? Well, compassion is overlooked for the overlooked. In other words, the shepherds in our town, right? We ought to have compassion on those that are less fortunate. Contentment in the mundane. In other words, we ought to have faithfulness at work and in the home, in the marketplace, neighborhood. And then the community ought to bear burdens. When people are hurting, we ought to be there to help. Shared meals and prayers or whatever. Now, I want to make a very truthful, frank statement about right here. And it's simply this. It's about the moment that we are living in. It's a joyless world in many respects. Characterized by rage-prone discourse. Just in Sunday school, Sister Judy, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but I think the Lord gave that to you on purpose. This Judy here, we got a couple of Judys. But I mean, she was trying to get out of her parking space and be real nice at Walmart, which I don't like.
Yes, amen.
I mean, the place inside is nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you even pay at? How do you operate this stuff? And I'm an IT guy. And I don't want to deal with it. She's trying to get out of the parking lot and somebody rolls down their window. Hurry up, get out of my way. I'm Scrooge. I'm the Grinch. You know, a lot of people are like the Grinch. Isn't that right, Brother Carlos? I sat back in my recliner and Kelly took a picture with me. With my Grinch shoes on, I just was sitting there thinking about Brother Carlos. Some people are just hateful, right? And they get more hateful at Christmas. All I can say is God bless them.
Amen, brother.
Lord, forgive them for they know not what they say or do. rage-prone discourse, chronic anxiety going around, entertainment that catechizes into despair, an economy of comparison that devours contentment. We're always trying to say, well, look, I got something better than you for Christmas this year. Look how I've got this. Big car with a big red bow on it. What'd you get? A Tootsie Roll. Listen, if we're not careful, the church can absorb this climate. Amen? Christmas calls us to holy defiance, not some performative perkness out there, the gospel-rooted gladness. We ought to be against cynicism. We ought to practice confidence in Christ's finished work. Not what we do, but what Jesus did. Amen? For our future.
Amen.
And against comparison, we practice contentment. Unto you is born a Savior. Against consumption, we practice celebration that gives us, gives rather than grasps. Some of the things I heard that people have said the other day, somebody was telling a story about giving somebody all kinds of gifts in their church and so forth. The church went out and gave, and the guy was disgruntled because he didn't get something that he thought he should get. Let me give you an exegetical thread, and I'm wrapping this up. You say, what in the world is that? Only a preacher would know what that is. When I say exegetical, I mean a deep look into the context of verse number 10.
Amen.
I'm
going to
wrap up with this. Look what it says. Fear not. Joy confronts the dread, right? Behold. Notice that in your Bible. Joy considers the gospel. Notice what else it says here. I bring good tidings. You know, joy comes from the from outside us. I know where it comes from, right?
Amen, brother.
Great joy. See where the Bible says that? In other words, joy ought to continue in us. And then for all people. That means that joy circulates through us. How many are going to go back to work, those that are not off for 200 or 300 years for Christmas? Are going to go back to work tomorrow, and you're going to have that dreadful frown on your face when you walk in with no joy. It's going to be like, that guy on some Christmas movie that was real hateful. Just lay a gift right over there. And they all look alike. I think we ought to put some things into practice this week, right?
Amen, brother.
A joyful world for life. We ought to take 3 minutes every day and every night. Go back and read Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14.
Yes.
And think about that. Think about 3 mercies from the last 24 hours that the Lord has delivered you from. I mean, think about those things. Lean out. Ask the Lord, who needs joy for me? You know, who can I be joyful to today? Who needs that through me? Because I'm joyful. I've got the Lord in my heart. Maybe it's inviting somebody for a joyful meal out to eat at some point. Or maybe to your house. I don't know. Invite your mother-in-law over. A joyful word. And by the way, I love my mother-in-law. Share one sentence of witness. I tell her I always bring her up at Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and all those times. But we ought to be joyful. Amen.
Amen.
So we've been given a joyful life to live. Let's live it in a joyless world. Amen.
Yes.
Let's carry Bethlehem into Monday.
Yes.
Let's run like shepherds from fear to faith, from shame to peace, and from sadness to joy. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the people.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And all God's people said,
Amen. Joy. Amen.